And the other big ISIS trouble spot, Syria, it's been over 24 hours, and so far, the ceasefire in the country's southwest appears to be holding, for the most part. The ceasefire was announced last week after President Trump's face-to-face meeting with Russian President Vladimir Putin. They agreed, as they have before, to work together to try and end the Syrian conflict. And Syrians have seen ceasefires come and go many times since the civil war erupted in 2011. The world's Rich Hall is following the conflict from his base in Beirut in Lebanon. What are the outlines of this new ceasefire, Rich?
So they're not actually calling it a ceasefire. They're being very careful and using very diplomatic language. They're calling it a de-escalation zone. And it's an area in southwestern Syria, an area where U.S.-backed forces, the Assad government, and Iranian and Hezbollah fighters are all present. It's a deal that was brokered by the U.S. and Russia, and it had the involvement of Jordan and Israel too. The provinces it covers are called Daraa, which was the home of the Syrian revolution, where it started, Quneitra and Sweida. And the basic outlines of the deal are that the U.S. will use their influence to rein in fighters allied to them, and Russia will use their influence to rein in Assad. And they will basically stay on each side of an agreed demarcation line. The details are still being worked out as to who will police it, but it's definitely a step forward in the U.S. and Russia relations with regards to Syria.
Practically, though, the word de-escalation, does that suggest that the public should expect less violence but not zero violence?
Exactly, yeah. I think it's one of those words that they use to protect themselves if things do fall apart. You know, if the ceasefire breaks, if there is small-scale fighting, they can protect themselves and say, okay, this is fine. It doesn't have to all fall apart. It's a de-escalation. This is expected.
Yeah, you know, similar ceasefire agreements, de-escalation zones under the Obama administration fell apart. Is there anything to suggest that Donald Trump might be a different kind of dealmaker in working with Putin?
Well, I think it has less to do with Donald Trump than it does the situation in Syria today. The situation on the ground in Syria is very different to the one that Obama was looking at. Aleppo was still held by the rebels when Obama was in power, so they had a line to defend. Obama had made commitments to the opposition that he had to at least try to live up to. Donald Trump came into power with a much weakened opposition. And during the last ceasefire, Russia also targeted moderate U.S.-backed groups during that time. So there are just fewer U.S.-backed groups for them to target, and Assad is much stronger today than he was when Obama was in power.
So what's the most likely spoiler scenario for this de-escalation?
There are a few. So this deal was worked out between the U.S. and Russia. The Syrian government wasn't involved, and a number of smaller groups on the rebel side weren't involved. There's also the al-Qaeda-backed rebel groups that are still fighting in Idlib. And of course, Iran and Hezbollah weren't involved in the fighting. Now, there is some speculation that Iran and Hezbollah might try to disrupt this deal because the legitimization of the U.S. forces in the area might threaten this corridor that Iran wants to create from Tehran all the way to Lebanon to support its partner Hezbollah. So there is some suggestion that they might try to disrupt this.
The UN envoy for Syria has opened a new round of talks today. What might be going on in those talks, Rich, that could strengthen this de-escalation zone?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting what's going on. They're taking place in Geneva. This is the UN-backed negotiations between the Syrian government and the opposition. If you talk to people, there's not much hope that anything will come of these. They're kind of talking about what a future Syria would look like. But on the one side of the negotiating table, you have a strong Syrian government, which is dominating the battlefield. On the other, you have this weakened opposition. And if we look at the results that have been coming out of other talks, it's increasingly talks between the great powers, Russia and the U.S. and Turkey. We saw talks in the Kazakh capital, Astana. We saw an agreement between Turkey, Russia, and Iran come out of that. It's increasingly the great powers, the superpowers, talking amongst themselves rather than Syrians talking over the negotiating table that are delivering results.
Yeah, so is this current de-escalation zone giving Syrians any hope that they've not had in the past?
I think there's definitely a sense of, we've seen this before, let's just wait and see what happens. You remember the ceasefire agreed between Barack Obama and Russia lasted about 2 weeks before it completely fell apart. So there's some guarded optimism. And already we've seen in Sweida, there's reports that government forces are capturing a number of villages held by U.S.-backed forces. So, yeah, it's very much a case of just wait and see.
Which we will do. The World's Rich Hall, thanks very much.
Thanks for having me. Cheers.